We are just days out from the election here in Wisconsin, and Tuesday's ballot includes a decision about our state Supreme Court. Two people are up for one spot, a 10-year term. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Keeley Boltina in for Kate Archer Kent. We'll hear from Judge Jill Karofsky later this hour on The Morning Show, and right now we're talking with Justice Daniel Kelly. There's a line for you at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have for Wisconsin Supreme Court candidates? What do you want to know about Justice Kelly's qualifications or his positions? Give us a call at 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Daniel Kelly is a candidate for the Wisconsin Supreme Court. He's also the incumbent, appointed by Governor Scott Walker in 2016. Justice Kelly, thanks for being back with us here on the Ideas Network.
It is my pleasure, Keeley. How are you doing this fine morning?
Good. Thank you. Want to start where we are, though. Several lawsuits are seeking to postpone the election amid this coronavirus pandemic. Should the election be delayed?
Well, this is I think Judge Connolly put it well during his statements yesterday. It's a question of whether he has the authority to change what the election currently is. Currently, the law calls for an election that concludes on April 7th. The election, of course, is already underway as early voting has started several weeks ago. And if it's to change, that's for the legislature and the governor to decide. And, you know, that's a policy decision for them to come to. And I generally don't weigh in on policy issues. So if they think it's important to change it, they have the authority to do it. I think the judge got it right that he does not have the authority to change it.
What about the state switching to a mail-only election or extending election deadlines? I mean, you're a candidate. Would you support that?
Well, I think this is one of the good illustration of the importance of the rule of law. Now, the concept of the rule of law is that people have advance notice of what the law requires of them so they can make intelligent decisions about how to order their affairs. And the election is already underway, so if the rules of the election were to change now, that would call into question the integrity of the entire process because people are making decisions based on what the law currently is. You change it up in the middle of it, then you have no idea how many people you might disenfranchise through that process. So if this was going to be an all mail-in election, that should have been the rule from the beginning of the election process, and it wasn't. So I think that would be problematic because I do think it would call into question the results of the election if we did that.
What about the context of the times, though, in that certainly people accepted those rules before we were also at the same time told not to gather in groups? Please don't leave your home right now for public health issues, which could disenfranchise voters, right? They may vote for your opponent, but they may vote for you.
You have no idea who they might vote for. You're absolutely right. Mm-hmm. I think we can do two things at the same time. I think we can follow the law as it relates to the election, and I think we can do it in a way that is going to be safe for everybody involved. I've been seeing that clerks around the state have been taking proper precautions, both for themselves and for those who go to vote, and maintaining the social distancing, maintaining the separation between individuals so that they can have their voice heard and still remain safe. And I think it's important that we properly prioritize this, right? So not everything has been shut down. You know, you take a look at the governor's order, and there is a whole host of businesses that are considered to be essential, including liquor stores and including doggy daycares. And, and I think in the context of this, we need to remember how vitally important it is that we maintain our form of government. And one of the foundational aspects of that form of government is that we do have elections.
I want to connect you quick with one of our listeners here. Lyle from Cornucopia wants to talk about this exact issue. Hi, Lyle.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'm just wondering why the judge thinks that with a stay-at-home order and a virus that is killing people out there, why on earth people would risk their lives to go out and vote. I mean, this is deadly. And this is inordinately representing poor people. Poor people in Milwaukee are unusually high in the number of cases of COVID-19. They're risking their lives to vote, and you think we can't just manage to postpone an election? I think a judge is in a perfect good position to help us out and give us a chance to survive this election. Thank you very much.
Yeah, Lyle, thanks for that. Yeah. So we do have a caller who's saying, Lyle's saying, this does feel like a choice between my health and my participating in our functioning democracy.
Yeah, and I appreciate that thought from Lyle. You know, what I would suggest is two things. One, this I think that illustrates well the difference in authority between judges and legislators. So judges aren't there to just do whatever they think to be a good idea. They're there to follow the law, to apply the law as it exists. The legislators, if they believe that there's a policy decision to be taken, that's for them to decide. They are there to make those trade-off decisions. But I would say this, too. I think that if you take the proper precautions when you go out to vote, you'll be just fine. If that were not so, I think the stay-at-home order would be substantially different from what it actually is. The stay-at-home order makes exceptions for things like, as I mentioned, liquor stores and doggy daycare and in businesses of similar import. And if you line those up and you say, well, is this really a death threat if you go out to a liquor store? Well, of course not. You take the proper precautions. Is it a death sentence if you go out to a doggy daycare? Of course not, if you take the proper precautions. And if you line those up and you say, well, which of these is the most important? Is it more important to maintain our form of government and have an election? Or is it more important to go to a liquor store? Well, I think the answer is pretty obvious. It's much more important to preserve our form of government and to follow the law than it is to go get a drink. So if this really was if it really was impossible to go out and be out in public safely, if it was impossible to do that, then I think that the governor would not have said that going to a liquor store is an essential business.
All right. We're talking about the Wisconsin Supreme Court with Justice Daniel Kelly. He's campaigning for a 10-year term on the court. What questions do you have for Justice Kelly? What do you want to know about his qualifications or his positions? 800-642-1234 is the number to call here. And Justice Kelly, speaking of this election, would you recuse yourself from any lawsuits that would rise to the Supreme Court if they involved this election?
Well, certainly, you know, as I have done already, there have been two cases that have had implications for this election, and I've recused myself from both because I think it is important that the people of Wisconsin have complete confidence in the integrity of the decisions that the court makes. And so one way that we ensure that that happens is that when we have a personal interest at stake, we don't sit on that case. And so, yeah, I mean, if any cases prior to the election or even after the election came up to the Supreme Court, I would recuse myself from those.
Because you're involved in the election. So.
Because you know I'm a candidate in this election. So that came up in the voter purge case, and I recused myself there because obviously how that gets resolved could have an impact on an election in which I'm a candidate.
All right. Wisconsin Supreme Court candidate and current Justice Dan Kelly stays with us now. He's making the case to get your vote in next week's election so he can stay on the court for 10 years. What do you want to ask him? What do you want to know before casting your ballot? You have a line to Justice Daniel Kelly at 800-642-1234. We have this hour with both candidates hoping to nab that Supreme Court seat. I'm Keely Boltina. This conversation continues here on The Morning Show. You're listening to The Ideas Network. Officially, candidates for Wisconsin Supreme Court run in a nonpartisan election. Yet endorsements show a deep divide between the two people in this race. We're talking to Daniel Kelly right now, who has the support of President Donald Trump. He's also received campaign donations from the state GOP. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Keeley Boltina, and we're taking your calls, wondering what questions you have for Wisconsin Supreme Court candidates, how you think about some of the cases and the recent rulings you've seen from the court, and whether you support how the court approaches cases. What do you think? 800-642-1234 is the number to call here. And Justice Kelly, we did get an email from Pat in Wausau asking if Supreme Court candidates are supposed to be nonpartisan, and if it's true you have a campaign office in the space that you're renting from the Republican Party, what's up with that? Pat's wondering, what's up with that, Justice Kelly?
Yeah, so these are nonpartisan races. However, the campaign managers and those who have campaign experience, there's no such thing as a nonpartisan campaign operative. And so we have to go to those people who have experience doing these kinds of things. It is an elective process. The people of Wisconsin decided 170 years ago that they wanted to have an elected judiciary. And so so every 10 years, each justice has to go through that elective process. And like I said, we find that talent where it is, and all of that talent rests in partisan spots. So we pull them out and we ask them to help us out. But the important point, I think, is the message that those people help us spread. And as I've gone around the state over this past year, I've been absolutely insistent that this office has nothing to do with politics. And so if you look back, I've been on the Supreme Court now since 2016. And if you look back at the decisions that I've taking part in, the opinions that I've written, you can see that that I don't allow partisan politics to come into the work that we do on the court. And I invite people to take a look at the opinions that I've actually written, because I rank them in a way that they're accessible to anyone, whether you're trained in the law or not. So I start with the law that applies to the case. I use rigorous logic to move from that law down to the conclusion. At the end of that, you'll be able to look back and see an unbroken chain of logic that links the law to the conclusions. And that's your guarantee that politics did not make their way into the decision-making process. Because as it turns out, logic doesn't care about your politics.
Yeah, I do wonder, though, what are some examples of legal cases where you've disagreed with Republicans who've been in front of you?
Yeah, so, I mean, I generally don't talk about laws that I like or don't like. One way of framing it well, I think, is the way that you just did. So I think you could look at a couple of cases where those who would support me, I have actually ruled against them. So for example, there was the Koss Corporation case, Koss versus Park Bank. And there are a number of bankers that are supporting me in this election. And yet in that case, I wrote a dissent because I thought that the plaintiff should have been able to pursue their cause of action against the bank. And that's just one example of the way that I approach the law, not being influenced by those who might support me. Another one had to do with a real estate issue, and the Wisconsin Realtors Association, which has endorsed me. They were on one side, I was on the other. I joined an opinion that rejected the position that they took. So I think you can look at the work that I've done, and you can see that the decisions, the conclusions I come to are required by the law, even when it is going to not be helpful to those who would otherwise support me.
We're talking about the Wisconsin Supreme Court with Justice Daniel Kelly. He's campaigning for a 10-year term on the court. And we are taking your questions about his qualifications or positions at 800-642-1234. John from Madison wants to join the conversation. Hey, John.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
My question is, with the U.S. Supreme Court, lifetime appointments are generally thought to be make the process less partisan, but in my view, it seems to make it just the opposite. That makes it more partisan over a longer period of time. I guess I would. My question is would be to Mr. Kelly is whether he feels these long-term appointments really make the a person less partisan.
Thanks, John. And long-term appointments, in this case, long-term elections, because this election is for a spot for a decade, Justice Kelly.
Yeah. Yeah, John, that's a great question. You know, and this issue comes up every once in a while. Is it better to have a lifetime appointment, or is it better to have regular elections? And I think there are positive points for both of them. Ultimately, I come out in favor of elections. And the reason for that is because I understand that the authority that I exercise on the Supreme Court does not belong to me. It's not mine. It belongs to the people of Wisconsin. They simply loan it to me through the Constitution that they've adopted and maintained. And so so I understand that the people of Wisconsin, all 6 million of them, are my bosses. And I am on the Supreme Court to serve them. And I think it is a very good idea for members of the court to come back on a regular basis to their bosses and give an account for what they've been doing with their boss's authority for the preceding 10 years. So I think that's a very healthy way of keeping that relationship the way it's supposed to be, so that the members of the court are always reminded that they are servants, that whenever they put on the robe and they look at their fellow Wisconsinites, every one of them they're looking at is their boss.
Yeah, Justice Kelly, the state Supreme Court oversees the administration of Wisconsin's justice system. In mid-March, the court suspended jury trials and in-person court hearings because of the coronavirus pandemic. You dissented. You disagreed with that decision. What do you say right now to people who are stuck, you know, awaiting trial in jails? How would you see courts performing jury selection amid a pandemic?
Yeah. So this is one of the differences between being a justice and being a legislator. We don't get to do just anything we decide to do because we think it's a good idea. We are bound by the law. And as I mentioned, all that authority that we exercise comes to us through the Constitution. And so we don't control the Constitution. The Constitution controls us. So when I look at this situation, the first question I ask is, what does the Constitution require? And the Constitution requires speedy trials for those who are in custody. And I look for any escape hatches that would allow us to ignore the Constitution because we think we've got a better idea of how to handle affairs. And we don't see one. And so we are we're at a spot where what we have to do, instead of ignoring constitutional commandments, what we should be doing is putting our creative hats on to figure out how we can conduct jury trials, even in the midst of a pandemic. Now, this is not an original thing that we're dealing with here. We, you know, as early commentators on the Constitution had noted, the Constitution of the United States was forged in a time of crisis, and it has functioned throughout our history in terms of crisis, whether it's World War II, World War I, the Spanish flu, the Civil War. There have been stresses on the Constitution before, and sometimes the judiciary has not met the challenge well. Sometimes, like in the Korematsu case in World War II, when we interned Japanese Americans, we look back on that now with a sense of shame that we forewent the constitutional guarantees. We thought the judiciary during World War II thought it knew better than the Constitution how to protect people's rights. And they didn't. They made a mistake.
Sure. But is that the same? Is that a fair analogy when we are dealing with an issue of public health where public health experts are saying, please don't put a bunch of people in a room together to conduct not specifically to conduct jury trials, but don't gather a bunch of people together. It's dangerous for our health.
Yeah. Yeah. So and that's where we need to put on our creative hats. Right. So we have a statute that allows us to actually conduct trials somewhere other than the courthouse. And so we have all across the state of Wisconsin right now, we have enormous buildings that are completely empty. And it is entirely possible to put together a jury that would not be in each other's immediate presence and be able to hear evidence and be able to continue with our constitutional guarantees. So this is a call for justices to figure out how to work through this process while still honoring constitutional commandments.
And would the court have the authority to do that, or would that be legislators who would need to make those changes?
There's actually already a statute that says that we can do that. So we have the authority right now to adjourn courts to different places where we'd be able to conduct them in a safe manner. And interestingly enough, that statute is it comes into play specifically by its own terms when there is pestilence, right, a pandemic. So the statute is designed specifically to allow for being creative in the way that we hold the trials and gather people together to make sure everyone's safe, but still honor the constitutional rights.
Justice Kelly, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you, Keeley.
Daniel Kelly is a candidate for the Wisconsin State Supreme Court. He was appointed to the bench in 2016 by Governor Scott Walker. Justice Kelly is campaigning for a 10-year term in this Tuesday's election. Up next is news, then we'll hear from another candidate, Dane County Judge Jill Karofsky. Keep your questions coming. Email them to ideas@wpr.org. What would you wonder about her qualifications or her positions running for the state Supreme Court? I'm Keeley Boltina. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. Wisconsin chooses Supreme Court justices in spring elections. Our state's vote is scheduled for Tuesday. Less than 1 week out, we're hearing from both candidates on the ballot. Each thinks they're the right choice for the bench. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Keeley Boltina in for Kate Archer Kent. We just finished talking with Justice Daniel Kelly, and now it's time to hear from Judge Jill Karofsky. Join us by calling 800-642-1234. What questions do you have for Wisconsin Supreme Court candidates? What do you want to know about Karofsky's qualifications or positions? You can email us at ideas@wpr.org or call 800-642-1234. Jill Karofsky is a candidate for the Wisconsin Supreme Court. She's also a Dane County Circuit Court judge. Judge Karofsky, thanks for being here with us again on the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Certainly. We talked about with Justice Kelly the fact that the Supreme Court has currently suspended jury trials and in-person court hearings because of the coronavirus here in Wisconsin. We know Justice Kelly dissented against that decision. Do you agree that the order violates a defendant's rights to a prompt trial, or would you side with the majority here?
You know, I'm the only person in this race who is a trial court judge, and I presided over more than 1,700 cases last year. I have presided over many, many jury trials, something that my opponent has never, ever done. And when we think about the coronavirus and we think about keeping members of our public safe, asking jurors to come in and sit in very, very close quarters. Anyone who has presided over a jury trial understands what it is like to impanel a jury, what it is like for the jury to sit in the jury box, how close they are when they are deliberating. And I've spent most of my career trying to keep members of our public safe, and I think that it is incumbent, it is really important that we do that in today's environment. So I have taken steps in my own courtroom. We are doing everything remotely. We are holding, I held 16 hearings from my kitchen just the other morning. We used Zoom, and then we were able to publicly show them on YouTube. And I'm going to continue to do that because first and foremost, we need to listen to the medical experts when it comes to something as serious as COVID-19. And we're going to continue to do that.
What about the flip side, though, because not everyone can do all of the courtroom's work remotely. Not all of it can happen that way. So there are people who will be stuck in jail awaiting trials. What do you say to them?
There are people who are stuck in jail. We have worked very, very hard. I have gone case by case through my caseload to look at are there people who could be released who are currently in jail? Are there some sentences that might be able to be stayed until June or July so that we can decrease the number of people who are in our jail? I've had a number of conversations with the sheriff who has assured my colleagues and me that they are taking all the steps necessary to keep people inside the jail as safe as possible. And so we are, you know, again, this is the experience that I'm going to bring to the Supreme Court as someone who has been on the front line of the justice system my entire career. And I continue to be on the front line of the justice system. And the questions for voters is this, you know, this COVID-19 crisis really highlights the importance of electing experienced leaders to all three branches of our government, in the executive branch, in the legislative branch, and in the judicial branch. And I'm going to bring a level of experience to the Supreme Court that my opponent cannot touch.
We are not far from this election, and yet we have several different groups suing to try to postpone it because of the pandemic we're dealing with. Should we delay the election?
Look, I think that, first of all, we are dealing with a crisis that none of us have ever seen before. And we need to do whatever we can to keep people safe, to follow the advice of the medical experts. A vast majority of Wisconsinites trust Governor Evers and the way that he has continued to manage and to handle this crisis. And we are focused on the April 7th date, which is 5 days away. We are encouraging people to vote absentee. I will remind people that they have until 5 o'clock this evening to ask for an absentee ballot. They can go to myvote.wi.gov and request that ballot.
Well, and as you're encouraging people to do that and vote absentee, would you support the state switching to a mail-only election or extending the election deadlines?
I always think that we need to do whatever we can to encourage people to vote. We should be encouraging more people to vote, and we need to do everything that in our power to continue to do that. I'm not going to have control over what that ultimate decision is, so I am just focused on getting to April 7th, on continuing to get our message out that we need to make a change on this seat on the Wisconsin State Supreme Court, and encouraging people to vote absentee so that they are able to exercise their right to vote while remaining safe.
And you said you think the majority of Wisconsinites trust how Governor Evers is handling the situation with public health recommendations and the pandemic. Governor Evers, the polls will be open physically on Tuesday. And so is it fair to assume that you think people feel comfortable going and voting?
I don't know. I mean, I think for every individual is going to be a different decision. I think that the best thing people can do is vote absentee. That is a way to ensure that their voice will be heard and that they will not have to come in contact with any more people than they absolutely need to come in contact with on Tuesday, April 7th.
We are talking about the Wisconsin Supreme Court with Judge Jill Karofsky. She is campaigning for a 10-year term on the court. And we're wondering, what questions do you have for Judge Karofsky? What do you want to know about her qualifications or her positions? How do you think about some of the rulings you've seen from the Wisconsin Supreme Court recently? And do you support how the court approaches cases? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. And Pat from Wausau shared a question with us and wanted to ask your views, too. Supreme Court contests are supposed to be nonpartisan, and yet you are often labeled the liberal justice, and you've gotten donations from the Democratic Party. Would you be on the side of Democrats or liberals when they bring cases to the state Supreme Court?
I will work on the Supreme Court. I will do my job on the Supreme Court the same way I have done my job as the circuit court judge. And I am the only person in this race who has a track record of deciding cases on the rule of law. And that's not what you see in my opponent. My opponent has stood up in front of Donald Trump signs. He has been endorsed by Donald Trump. He has run his campaign out of the Wisconsin GOP headquarters. Every single time he has had the opportunity to rule in favor of the right-wing special interests on the court, he has. Look, this was a guy who was appointed to the Supreme Court by Scott Walker, even though he did not have any judicial experience. He had the thinnest of resumes, but he was put on the court to do one thing and one thing only, and that was to carry the water of the right-wing special interests, carry the water of corporations, carry the water of the wealthy. And he has done that. He has not spilled a drop of their water. And what he has done on the Supreme Court has been corrupt. He has taken money from outside interest groups that he has found in favor of over and over and over again. He has an agenda, and he has ruled in favor of that agenda every opportunity he has had on the Supreme Court.
Judge Kurofsky, what are some examples of legal cases where you have disagreed with Democrats who have been in your court?
You know, I don't know what party people are when they are in my court. I rule in favor of defendants in my court. I rule in front and I rule in favor of the DAs in my court. I don't make decisions based on the political party of someone who is appearing in front of me. I make decisions based on the rule of law. And there are many times when I rule against whatever my own personal views are because it's what the law commands me to do.
All right. We've got Mary from Pewaukee here who wants to join the conversation. Welcome to the Ideas Network, Mary.
Thank you very much for the opportunity. I already sent in my ballot, and I firmly believe, as Jill mentioned, that we should all, you know, pre-vote, you know, early voting and sign up for November. I think today's the last day to be able to vote for April 7th primary. But I did vote for you, Jill. I do not like the slanderous commercials that Kelly has put out, or at least his party or people. And I did want you to be able to address that, what they have said in the ads, as well as before I voted, I did look into your background, and I loved the fact that you had the experience and that you are on the side of fairness.
Okay, thanks, Mary. I appreciate the call. Judge Kurofsky, do you want to ask, though, technically this is a nonpartisan campaign, but it's a campaign, and so each side is talking about the other and trying to explain why they're not the best fit. Why are you?
Well, first of all, Mary, thank you very, very, very much for your support and your vote. I appreciate it. Look, Dan Kelly is running his entire campaign based on blatant lies. They have two TV ads that they are running saying, making up things that they say that I did in a courtroom that are 100% false. In fact, PolitiFact ruled it up, the first ad, a pants on fire. And I believe that they are looking at a second ad as well. Voters should vote for me because I have the experience that we need on the Wisconsin State Supreme Court. I'm the only person in this race who has been a trial court judge or is a trial court judge. I have ruled on thousands of cases as a judge. I have been a prosecutor. I was a prosecutor for a number of years. I know how to be smart on crime. I know the importance of protecting individual rights. I have been a victim advocate. I was Wisconsin's first violence against women resource prosecutor. I was the head of Wisconsin's Office of Crime Victim Services. I help victims in every county in this state get the support and the help and the services that they needed. And that experience, that depth and breadth of experience, is something my opponent cannot touch.
We're talking about the Wisconsin Supreme Court with candidate Judge Jill Kurofsky. Stay with us here on The Morning Show. Our conversation continues. State Supreme Court hopeful Jill Kurofsky raised more money in the past 6 weeks than the incumbent in this race. Campaign finance reports show more than half of nearly $2 million came from the state Democratic Party. Kurofsky has the support of progressives in the race that is technically nonpartisan. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina. What questions do you have for Wisconsin Supreme Court candidates? What do you want to know about this candidate's qualifications or her positions? Shoot us an email at ideas@wpr.org or try calling 800-642-1234. Judge Jill Kurofsky is one of two Supreme Court candidates on Tuesday's ballot. And Charlie from Verona has a question this morning. Welcome to the Ideas Network, Charlie.
Hi, thank you. Judge Kurofsky, I just have a question. There's been a lot of talk about the partisanship in this election. You've been pretty critical of your opponent for accepting money from Republican interests and from the Republican Party of Wisconsin. But your latest campaign finance report shows that you've accepted almost 10 times the amount from the Democrat Party of Wisconsin. I'm just wondering why you think it's different or why you think it's okay for you to accept that money but not for him to do the same.
Charlie, thanks for the call. Judge Kurofsky, what about donations from Democrats?
Sure, Charlie, thank you for the call. One of the things I have talked about in this entire race from the very beginning was the importance of Wisconsin having a clear and a strong recusal rule so that if money comes in Supreme Court or other judge elections and that money is over a certain line, that the judge or justice who received that money from that group or that person, if there is a case that involves that group or that person, that judge or justice will not sit on that case. You know, we have one of the weakest recusal rules in the country. Our recusal rule in this state was drafted by the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce and the Realtors Association. And in 2016, when Dan Kelly was on the court, he had the opportunity to change that rule. He had the opportunity as a member of the court to hold a hearing to gather information to change the rule. And Dan Kelly wouldn't do it. My opponent refused to do it. He wants to benefit from the outside money coming in. And the people who are giving him that money, they want to benefit from Dan Kelly's decisions. Well,
and how is it then, Judge Kurofsky, that you might not benefit then from Democrats who are donating to your campaign?
So what I have done, and first of all, when I get on the court, we're going to pass a strong and a clear recusal rule so that this doesn't happen anymore. Second of all, what I have said that I will do is if the Democratic Party of Wisconsin is a litigant in a case, I will get off that case. And Dan Kelly has made no such promise.
And speaking of recusals, then, we know that there are some lawsuits currently, but if we move and there are lawsuits that rise to the Supreme Court and involve this election and you're on the court, how would you handle recusal?
I would take it each case at a time. I don't know what the issues would be or how they would get to the court. I don't have no idea procedurally, but I will do what I do in my court right now. And that I will look at each individual case, and if I believe that there is a conflict or the appearance of impropriety, I will get off that case. I'll tell you what I won't do. I won't do what Dan Kelly has done. And what Dan Kelly has done in the voter purge case is first he said he was going to get off that case. And then about a month ago, he started to signal to his friends on the right, to Donald Trump and other members of the right, that he was going to unrecuse himself. So basically what he has said to these people is you get me across that finish line on April 7th. And once I'm across that finish line on April 7th, I'm going to unrecuse myself, Donald Trump. So I will be there for you in November if you need me on the Wisconsin State Supreme Court. That is corruption in its purest, purest form.
I do want to clarify, though, that if there was a lawsuit about this election that went in front of the Supreme Court and you would on it, you would not automatically recuse yourself. You would look at the merits of the case?
Yeah, if it impacted me, then I would, of course, recuse myself.
Okay. We're talking about the Wisconsin Supreme Court with Judge Jill Kurofsky. She's campaigning for a 10-year term on the court. And we are talking about politics and qualification here on the Ideas Network. And Diane from Wanakee wants to join this conversation and talk with the judge. Hi, Diane.
Hi. I'm so glad I get to talk today.
Yeah. What's
My
on your mind?
Republican governors of other states support the life of the unborn, but as a person over 65, I don't feel they are supporting the lives of us living and older than 60 when they don't have stay-at-home rules. What is your feeling?
Okay, Diane, thanks for that. And Judge Kurofsky, we're talking about stay-at-home rules in the state of Wisconsin, and there have been some rumblings that people think that might be unconstitutional. How would you handle it with your position as a candidate for the Supreme Court?
Well, I want to make sure not to talk about how I would rule on any case that might get to the Wisconsin State Supreme Court. I will go back to what I said at the beginning of this interview, is that we have never seen a health crisis in our lifetime like COVID-19. I do believe we need to follow the health experts and the advice, the good advice that they are giving us. And again, it is clear that a vast majority of people in Wisconsin are trusting the good work that Governor Evers is doing on this issue.
And the Supreme Court currently is controlled by a Republican-backed majority, and your values that you talk about tend to align with the progressives. How would you work in that environment to make sure your voice was heard if you're elected?
I would have no problem doing that. I have been a consensus builder my entire career, and I have long, long relationships, professional and some personal, with many members of the Wisconsin State Supreme Court. I look forward to working with them. There are going to be areas where we are going to agree to disagree. There are going to be areas where we simply agree, and then there's going to be a gray area in the middle where I will use my people skills, where I will use where I will try to persuade them. Well, I will listen to them, and we will come to a just and fair resolution.
And so how do you do that, though, when, at the end of the day, majority rules on the court as far as the decisions that come from our state Supreme Court?
Right. I think that in the period while we are figuring out what the correct decision will be, I'll make sure that my voice is heard. And I will try to, if I disagree with them, I will try to persuade them as to why my decision is the best. And if they are able to outvote me, I still would have the opportunity to issue a dissent to make sure that my voice was heard and my thoughts were heard by others.
And what are the most pressing legal questions in Wisconsin that you think the Supreme Court should be addressing right now? I mean, it's not an overstatement to say we are living in pretty dramatic times right now.
We are, absolutely. Look, I think that your question is a great one, and it really highlights why this race is so important. This race is going to have incredible consequences for the people of Wisconsin for years and years to come. It's a 10-year term, after all. I think the court is absolutely going to hear a case on redistricting, on gerrymandering. The court is likely to hear cases on women's access to health care. What is Wisconsin's response going to be to the climate crisis, to gun violence, to criminal justice reform? What is democracy in the state of Wisconsin going to look like? That is what is on the line in this election. And you're right. These are unprecedented times. Times like this highlight the importance of having competent and experienced leaders in every single branch of the government. And the experience that I am going to bring to the Wisconsin State Supreme Court is the kind of experience that we need in a time of crisis like this.
And if you'd be making those decisions, how important is the current context of what's happening, and how important are our founding documents that guide those decisions on the court?
We need to look at the Constitution all the time when we are making constitutional decisions, obviously. The Constitution needs to be interpreted with today in mind, though. We are in 2020. When the Constitution was ratified, women like you and I didn't have the right to vote. African Americans were considered 3/5 of a person. We didn't have handheld computers giving us information from all over the world and from every time in history up till now, and even giving us information about what might happen in the future. So when interpreting the Constitution, we need to do it with today in mind. But decisions on the Supreme Court, decisions in any court like my court, need to be made always based on the rule of law.
Judge Kurofsky, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you so much. Please, everybody, vote absentee. Thank you.
Jill Kurofsky is a candidate for the Wisconsin Supreme Court. She's a Dane County Circuit Court judge. And Judge Kurofsky is campaigning for a 10-year term in this Tuesday's election. Earlier, we heard from another candidate, Justice Daniel Kelly. Just Ahead is On Point with further election analysis here in 2020, taking a look at how COVID-19 is upending political campaigns across the country, including the race for the White House. On Point is next. I'm Keeley Boltina. It's The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.